Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message. The book of Philippians is called the letter of joy, the letter of joy. And the content in the book of Philippians is really powerful, but it's even more powerful when you put the content in context and realize that the person who was writing this letter, the Apostle Paul, who was a leader in the early church, he's writing this to the church at a place called Philippi. And the content is powerful, but when you understand the context of where he was writing from, it's even more powerful because Paul was writing the letter of joy while he was in jail. And whenever you can write a letter of joy and you're in jail, I just believe that you have something to teach us, amen? And so that's what we've been diving into, and that's what we've really been talking about. And we've been going to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. It's kind of been the backbone scripture of the entire series. And it says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Everybody say always.
Always.
Paul says, I will say it again, rejoice. And this is the big thought for this 7-week series. The big thought is this, is that it is possible to rejoice always. It is possible to rejoice always. Now, I might not know how to do it. I might not be good at it. I might not feel like doing it today, but I have to believe that it is possible. And if that is the first part of the big thought, the continuation of the big thought is this, that if rejoicing always is possible, then to rejoice is my choice. Paul is showing us here that it is possible to have joy in the jail. It's possible to rejoice even when you are in prison. So what does that teach us? That teaches us that joy is a matter of my perspective, not my position. That I can be in a difficult situation and still have joy. How is that possible? Because joy is not linked to my position in life. It's linked to my perspective on life. So I've got to have this understanding that joy is possible. I don't believe the Bible would say it if we couldn't do it. So when the Bible says rejoice always, I believe that it is possible. And so if it is possible, then to rejoice is my choice. Let's go into Philippians chapter 4 as we wrap up this series today. We're going to go into a few verses in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. I'll be reading out of the NIV translation. It says it this way. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned. Everybody say learned. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned. Everybody say learned. I have learned, he says, the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Today, I want to talk to you for just a few moments on the learning process. The learning process. Let's pray one more time. Father, we ask in the next few minutes that you would do what only you can do. God, begin to mold us and make us into the people that you created and designed for us to be for your kingdom purposes in Jesus' name. And everybody in the room said,
amen.
Amen. Is there anyone here today that you speak two languages? Anybody today speak two? Come on, raise your hand if you speak two languages. This is your time to brag, okay? This is your time. Okay, you speak two. Come on, raise your hand up high like you're proud of that. Come on, let's give them a great round of applause, okay? You know, I don't know if you know this or not, but Destiny speaks a few languages. She speaks French conversationally. She speaks Mandarin Chinese fluently. And you're looking at me, and I just speak English kind of brokenly. But I'm still working on it. You know, and here's the thing about learning a language. Learning a language is hard work. You know, Rosetta Stone can make it sound so easy. In 8 weeks, you know, and you're like, oh, I'm going to order this. 8 weeks later, you know the same amount that you knew whenever you ordered Rosetta Stone in the first place. Learning another language, it requires time, it requires effort, it requires diligence. And it's not that you or I could not learn a language. It's just the fact that we did not learn a language. And here's the reality is that we just did not submit to the learning process. It's not that we could not do it. Everybody in the room today has the opportunity to learn another language. It's not that we could not, it's just that we did not. We did not submit to the learning process. Why? Because the learning process has a price tag. And I didn't want to give the time. I didn't want to give the effort. I didn't want to put forth the energy. I did not want to have to give the level of persistence that it would take. I did not want to have to be in those uncomfortable conversations as I learned. So whatever that price tag would look like, I just decided that I did not want to learn another language because all learning requires a process. So I want you to think about that in the context of what Paul says when he says this, I have learned to be content. Paul was not born content. He was not even born again content. Paul's not saying, hey, I watched a 30-minute YouTube video on a great sermon about contentment and now I am content. No, he says, I have learned. What he is saying is I have submitted to the learning process that I might become content in every situation. So we have to begin to look at what does it really mean to learn? What is the definition of the word? And I think as we look at the definition of the word, we're going to see today the learning process that will impact us all. And the definition of the word learn means this: to acquire knowledge of or skill in by study, instruction, or experience. To acquire knowledge or skill, you could say to gain knowledge or to gain a skill, and we gain that skill by study, instruction, or experience. Now, I would argue that if we're talking about learning life skills, that it doesn't just require study, instruction, or experience, but I would say that it requires all three. If you're learning a life skill, I think it requires study, instruction, and experience. And this is what we need to understand about rejoicing always. Rejoicing always is a skill, and skills are learned. Nobody is born rejoicing always. Nobody gets born again and just turns into a person that I am rejoicing always. No, rejoicing always is a skill. So this tells me this about rejoicing always. Rejoicing always is more about practice than personality. It doesn't matter what my personality is. I can learn how to rejoice always because rejoicing always is a skill, and skills have to be practiced. So this is something that can improve in my life, and it's going to improve in three ways, through three things in the learning process. And I really encourage you to write this down. I really feel like if you can take this message and begin to apply these things into your life, I really think it's going to make a difference. And so whether you got a pen and on the back of your welcome card, you can take some notes or take out your smartphone and type some notes there in your smartphone that will actually make you smarter. You can actually do that. And you know the theology here at North Point, the better notes that you take in church, the bigger your mansion is in heaven. So take good notes today, build an extra room in your mansion in heaven. Okay, let's break this learning process down in three steps, okay? The first step is instruction. The first step is instruction. The first part of a learning process is instruction. Now, instruction can come to you through a sermon. It can come to you through a book. This is where you get a new thought, a new idea, a new perspective. You see something that you've never seen before. You hear something you've never heard before. And this is what instruction is. Instruction, this is you listening. Okay, so whenever we talk about instruction, this is you listening. This is you listening to the perspective, the thoughts, the ideas of someone else. Okay, so whenever you are getting instruction from the Bible, today we are getting some instruction from the Apostle Paul. Today you'll be getting some instruction from me. Today you're going to be getting some instruction. And so instruction is just the sermon, the book, wherever it comes from, it's just this new idea. It's me listening to something different. Okay, that is instruction. It's part of the learning process. And then whenever we get study, okay, study is for those of you that have been going through our Morning Joy devotional and you've been going through that journal. This is what it is when you begin to write down your observation of the scripture. You begin to write down that application. You begin to write down that prayer. You begin to go through the process in your journal. This is you thinking for yourself about yourself. Thinking for yourself about God in your relationship with Him. Thinking for yourself about your relationship with other people. Thinking about yourself. Thinking for yourself. This is what it is. So whenever we talk about study, this is you looking, okay? So if instruction is you listening to something new, then study is you looking. It's you digging for something. It's you working through some things. It's you looking. It's really you looking into your own thoughts. It's you looking into your own behaviors. It's you looking into your own habits. It's you looking into your strengths and into your weaknesses. And you looking into the patterns of your life. And so these are very important things in the process of learning. You have your instruction. This is you listening. You have your study. This is you looking intently inside of yourself. Nobody can do this for you. This is you working on you. You looking inside of yourself. This is how you study. And then the last is experience. So you got instruction. This is you listening. You got study. This is you looking. And then whenever we talk about experience, this is you living. Experience is you living. This is you walking through the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is you on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. This is you in 2016, 17, 18, 19, and 2020. This is you living, and this is where our experiences come from. And all of these things play a critical part in the learning process. Now, I want to once again say, why is the book of Philippians so powerful? Because whenever Paul says, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstance. He's not saying I went to class and I learned about contentment. He's not saying I've gotten some good instruction and I've done some reflection. No, that does not complete the learning process. When Paul says I have learned to be content no matter the situation, it means that he has experienced all of those situations. He's had plenty and he's had lack. He's been in difficult times and he's had good times. He says I have been through the gamut. I have been shipwrecked. I have been beaten. I have been blessed. I have had all of these experiences and I have learned. I have walked through the experiences, and through the experiences, I can boldly say, through the learning process, I've had instruction, I've done the reflection, and I've also had the experience. So he says, I have learned to be content, because you can't fully learn something until you have experienced it. This is why we don't learn morning joy on Sunday morning at 9:30. You can learn about morning joy. Maybe the thought that it is my choice to rejoice. Maybe the concept that it's possible to rejoice always is a brand new thought that hit your mind in these 7 weeks. And you thought, man, I don't have to live as a prisoner to my feelings. Wow. No, I can actually overrule my feelings by the truth of the Word of God. And God wouldn't say it's possible if it wasn't possible. So therefore, it is my choice every day whether I rejoice or not. Maybe that's a brand new thought. You can learn something about morning joy, but you're not fully going to learn everything about morning joy. You see, you learn real morning joy as you practice rejoicing on Monday morning when you get up to go to that job and you're going to have to deal with an angry, ungrateful, and unhappy boss all day long. You see, you learn what it is to have morning joy, and you learn what it is to practice rejoicing on Tuesday morning when you wake up and you have to go to that meeting with your child's teacher because they've been calling and sending reports home and the behavior issues are not getting better, they are escalating. You see, you learn morning joy, and you learn how to practice rejoicing on Wednesday morning when you had another nasty disagreement with your spouse on Tuesday night, and Tuesday night somebody slept on the couch, and now you have to get up both in the house again on Wednesday morning. You see, that's when you practice real morning joy. It's not just what happens and what we agree with on Sunday morning. It's what do we do with it on Thursday morning when your youngest child got sick and you were the cleanup crew all night long. What do you do? This is where you learn morning joy, and this is where you practice rejoicing on Friday morning when now you've been retired for 3 years, and you've been retired for 3 years, and now you're struggling with your identity and purpose, and retirement wasn't all that you thought it was going to be, and now if you were honest, you're struggling with a little discouragement and a little depression, wondering, where do I fit in the world now? And you're just fighting these things. You see, you don't learn everything about morning joy on Sunday morning. You learn morning joy and you practice rejoicing on Saturday morning whenever you are boxing up everything in your house because you are forced to downsize because that job that you were putting all of your hope in fell through and that dream job that you had, you no longer have. And now your whole life looks like it's taking a different course that you didn't think it was going to take. You see, morning joy is not learned and perfected on a Sunday morning. Morning joy is learned every single morning of your life. As you have to practice rejoicing as we deal with the issues of life, the exact same way that the Apostle Paul had to in his life. See, this is why learning demands these three things. It's why it demands instruction, study, and experience. This is why instruction and study are so important, is because instruction and study, they give me insight, perspective, and understanding for my experiences. This is why you can't just take a part of the learning process. You cannot just get instruction and come to church on Sunday morning and hear teaching and be like, yes and amen, but then you never study. You never take that and begin to work that through in your life and begin to apply that in your life. And you begin to wrestle down with some of these things and say, man, if morning joy is possible, I'm letting the situations of yesterday dictate how I wake up tomorrow. So I've got to wrestle with this now. I got to study. Why is this happening? I've got to look internally. And so when I get the instruction and I begin to do the study and I begin to look inside of me, and then I've got to put it into my experience, because it's not enough just to have the instruction and to do the reflection and the internal study. No, now I actually have to live this out in the experiences of my life, because this teaches me what is on the inside of me. Because whenever life squeezes me, what's in there is going to come out. This is why I got to have the experiences, because I got to know if it's working. I got to know what's really in me. So these are three very important parts of the learning experience. And whenever we look in the book of Psalm 119, verse 130, I love the scripture, and it says, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. This is why we need insight and understanding. This is why we need instruction and study, because the unfolding of the Word of God, the unveiling of the Word of God, the opening of the Word of God, it gives us light. It's like a light bulb. It's the aha moment. It's when think, aha, now I see. Aha, now I understand. It's a light that begins to shine into my life. And what did not make sense, what was a moment ago too complex and too complicated and too confusing, in one moment as God begins to open his word up to us and the light bulb goes off, I see what I have never seen before. And when that happens, it says he gives understanding to the simple. Do you know who the simple people are? It's me and you. It's me and you. We're just the simple people. We're just loving God. We're not experts in theology. We're not doctors of doctorates hanging on our walls. No, we're just simple people. But God says, I want to open up my word for the simple people so that it can give you an aha moment, so it can give you perspective and understanding, so that it will help you in your experiences. You see, if I just go through life and I just experience life, and I don't get the instruction, and I don't do the study, if all I do is have experiences, then guess what? I can't evaluate life. Because I get to evaluate my life based on the information or the instruction I was given and the study that I have done on the inside, the work that I've done on the inside. You see, that's where I get my evaluation. And so if all I do is experience life, then I can't evaluate life. And if I can't evaluate my life, listen, then I can never elevate my life. Because there will never be elevation without evaluation. But if I don't have the insight and the study, I have nothing to measure my life against. So therefore, I'm just experiencing life, but I'm never evaluating my process. Here's one of the biggest mistakes that people make. One of the biggest mistakes people make is feeling like just because they go through life that they will grow through life. Feeling like they're going to be better because they are 41 than when they were 31, just because they're 10 years older. Feeling like my next birthday is going to be a better birthday, that I'm going to be a better person as I get older, that people make the mistake of thinking that just because I go through life, I'm going to grow through life. No, you have to choose to grow through what you go through. Yes. Just because you walk through a difficult season is not going to make you better.
That's right.
Just because you endured hardships is not going to be beneficial to you. No, you have to make a choice to grow through what you go through. And this happens intentionally, not automatically. So people make the mistake of thinking that growth is just going to happen in my life because I'm a year older. Let me tell you, you're just a year older. Just because you're a year older doesn't make you a year better. You have to grow through what you go through. And here's why. Here's why. Because experiences don't change us. Evaluated experiences change us. Experiences don't change us. Evaluated experiences change us. Let me prove that to you. How many of you know people who keep making the same mistakes over and over? How many of you were looking at that person in the mirror this morning when you were getting ready, right? We keep making the same mistakes over and over, but here's what we think. Well, the experience is making me better. The experience isn't making you better. The only thing that changes is when you evaluate that experience. Because if you don't evaluate, you can't elevate. And the only way things get better is if you begin to elevate, which demands evaluation. So if I'm just experiencing life and thinking that I'm going to get better at this thing of life, then I am deceived. Because I've got to be willing to intentionally grow through what I'm going through. I've got to evaluate the experiences if I want to see things change in my life. So this is why when we talk about the learning process, instruction, study, and experience, if we are not getting the instruction that we need to change, and if we aren't studying ourselves to figure out how we can change, then our experiences will always end the same with no progress. Would you say that again? If you're not getting the instruction, the teaching, the information, the revelation that you need in order to change, and if you are not studying yourself to figure out what it is, how you can change, then the experiences you have in life, it will always end the same way, and it will always end with no progress. You see, this is where we get twisted in the learning process. This is where it always gets twisted. And I said earlier that instruction, and I've said that this is you listening, right? Instruction, this is you listening. But here is the next question. The follow-up question is this. Who are you listening to? Instruction is you listening. Make no mistake, you are listening to something. You are getting your instruction from somewhere. You are taking your perspective from somebody. You are taking your perspective from something. So you are listening. Instruction is coming in, but we have to ask ourselves, who am I listening to? Where am I getting this instruction? You see, God will speak to you through his word. But what you need to know is the enemy will speak to you through this world. God will speak to you through his word, but the enemy will speak through this world, and he will use anybody and everybody to communicate something to you. Truth and trouble, they both have a voice. Haven't we heard them? I mean, that's why in the cartoons, right? I mean, they put the angel on this side and they put the little devil with his little pitchfork and long tail over there, and the angel and the devil are talking back and forth, and we watch those cartoons because that's our reality. The voice of truth and the voice of trouble, they both have a voice in our life, and this is what the voice of truth says. The voice of truth comes in and says, I am with you. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. The voice of truth says that you are more than a conqueror. But then the voice of trouble begins to speak up. And the voice of trouble says, you don't have what it takes. This test is going to kill you. This challenge is going to destroy your family. There's no way you're going to make it out of this alive. You see, the instruction, you have to decide, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Are you listening to your angry, disgruntled coworker? Are you taking their perspective on marriage? Are you taking their viewpoint on the world? Are you taking your parents' perspective on what is possible? And because things didn't work out the way that they wanted it to work out, and they got bitter, and they got resentful, and they've been a victim all their life, and you have taken their input into life as how you should live your life, and today you are living through their lens, listening to the wrong voice. You see, you have to ask yourself, who are you listening to? Because that's where you're getting your instruction. It's where you're getting your information. It's part of the learning process. That's where it gets twisted. We start listening to the wrong things. And listen, when we're listening to the wrong things, what does that mean? It means we're learning the wrong things. When we talk about studying, we said that studying is, this is you looking, right? So if instruction is you listening, then studying is you looking. And so then it brings the question, what are you looking for? And if you've been a part of this community very long, you've probably heard me say this before, but you will always find whatever you're looking for. You will always find whatever you're looking for. That's why you need to make sure you are looking for the right thing, because you're guaranteed to find whatever you're looking for. I mean, isn't that what Jesus said? Jesus says, seek and you will find. He didn't say what you were seeking after. He just said, you're going to find it. If you are seeking righteousness, you'll find it. If you're seeking God, you'll find him. But if you are seeking after trouble, guess what you will find? You will find trouble. You will find whatever you're looking for. So what are we looking for? You know, sometimes in life, we aren't looking for the ways we can change, but for the ways that others need to change. So whenever we start studying, whenever we start going on the inside, we're not looking for how we need to change. We're looking at how the people around us need to change. Sometimes when we begin to study and we begin to internalize, sometimes we aren't looking for how we can improve our behavior, but instead how we can prove that our behavior is right. So when I go internally, I'm not trying to figure out how I can improve. I'm just trying to figure out another angle to prove that my perspective is the right perspective. My words are the right words. My way is the right way. And so I begin to study. So you have to ask yourself, what are you looking for? Because if you're looking for ways that you need to change, guess what? You will find ways that you need to change. If you are looking for how you can be a better spouse, you will find 100 ways before 3 p.m. today of how you can be a better spouse. But if you are looking for what's wrong with your spouse, guess what? You will find 100 things wrong with them before 3 p.m. So it's all about, what are you working through on the inside? What are you working through on the inside? So this learning process, it requires instruction. That's what am I, or who am I listening to? And then my study is, what am I looking for? I've got to make sure I'm looking for the right thing. Why? Because who you are listening to and what you are looking for will shape the way that you see and interpret all your experiences. This is why it's so important I've been listening to the right voices. It's so important that I've been looking for the right things, because then I will step into an experience and I will interpret that experience by what is on the inside of me, what I believe to be true. And now the same person that wrote the book of Philippians also wrote the book of Romans. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, this is what Paul says. He says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Don't copy the old ways. Don't hang on to the old you. Don't hang on to your old values and your old habits. Don't copy the behavior of this world. Don't copy after their patterns. Instead, allow God to transform you by changing the way you think. Now, think about what Paul wrote. I have learned to be content. Would we all agree that that is a transformed point of view? Sitting in a jail cell, saying, I have learned to be content no matter what. Rejoice always. That's not natural. That's supernatural. That's not normal. That is transformed. I have learned to be content. Paul has been transformed. He's been transformed through the learning process. He says, I have taken instruction and information. He says, I've allowed God to work that through me in my life, and I've struggled with it and wrestled with it and taken things out of my life and put things into my life, and I've seen my weaknesses and I've seen my strength, and I've changed my habits and my patterns, and I've worked through my focus, and I've done all of these things. I've done this work on the inside, because he's the same one that said, work hard to show the results of your salvation. So he says, I've been working this thing internally to get this to the place so that whenever I find myself in these experiences that are not ideal, I can allow them to be a part of my learning process as well. You know, sometimes we think the learning process, it's just like I get saved and then everything on the graph is just like up and to the right. It's just smooth sailing. I just get Jesus in my life and whoop, it should just look like it's just a clean pathway all the way to the top of the mountain. But this is the way we define discipleship here at North Point Community Church. We define discipleship as the process to progress. It's our process. Now, I'm going to read you a portion of scripture, same God that wrote Philippians, the same God that said rejoice always, the same God is the same one. He's the same one that told us you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. He's the same one that said all of these amazing things that we've been talking about, but I want you to see the process, because sometimes when you read Philippians, you can think, okay, Paul, you got saved, you had an encounter with God, and now you're in jail, and you're teaching us about joy, and well, that's just awesome, Paul. You're just up and to the right, just all the way to the top, all the way to the top. Can't stop, won't stop. Really good for you, Paul, but it doesn't work that way, Bossier City, 2019 with what I got to deal with. Can I just tell you, it didn't work that way for the Apostle Paul either? Yeah. Let me just read this to you. This is what he wrote about his journey. This is what he wrote about his process in Romans chapter 7. He says this, but I need something more. For if I know the law but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keep sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me, and it gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel. And just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. Can somebody just take a deep breath right now? And can somebody just say, thank God? You know, sometimes we think that the Apostle Paul's life and Peter's life and the life of a Christian should just be up and to the right. But I've got a little graph to show you what it really looks like today. This is what it really looks like. This is the learning process. And do you see the peak right there in the beginning? The peak right there in the beginning is whenever it dawns on you that a new life is possible and you're like, Philippians 4:13 is my verse. I can do all things through Christ. We're going to the top. This is harder than I thought it was going to be. I don't know as much as I thought I knew. I haven't wrestled with as much as I thought I have wrestled with on the inside of me. I didn't realize there was that much dysfunction. I didn't realize there was that many evil things. I didn't realize I had believed so many lies and set up so many limitations. I didn't know. And then you're like, oh, it's a process. Oh, it's a process of insight and study and experience. And I'm doing pretty good. And I feel like, oh, maybe I got the hang of. This is the Texas Giant. Oh, and now I'm like, well, okay, I'm going to gather myself. Because that gave me some new insight and it gave me some new perspective. And I learned something about myself in that experience. I wasn't as content as I thought I was. I wasn't as humble as I thought I was. I wasn't as nice as I thought I was. I didn't love my enemy as much as I thought I loved my. I wasn't as patient as I thought I was. And then now I begin to get some new insight and some new information and some new instruction. And I begin to work through the inside. And now I begin to get back up on that upward train. And now I'm doing good. And I realize that life is a process. But notice this. I keep climbing and I keep climbing and I keep climbing and I keep climbing. And this is what Paul said. This is the way I do it. This is how I do it. Because the strength of Christ is in me. You see, I'm grateful that every Christian school in their weight room puts this on there. You know, it's like the Christian school weight room verse, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ. I can bench press 225 pounds. I can do all things through Christ. Paul was talking a little bit more about your bench press and your squat. Paul's talking about life.
Yes. Come on.
He says, this is how I've learned to be content. Paul, how did you learn to be content? Through process. I wasn't content at the first shipwreck. I was maybe not content the first time I went to jail. Maybe he wasn't perfectly content, but he says, I've been through the process. I learned something about myself in the first shipwreck. I learned something the first time when I was betrayed by somebody that I trusted. I learned something about myself. I wrote some things that I probably shouldn't have written, and I've said some things that I probably shouldn't have said. And you see, I thought I was on the right track, but then I came to this realization, whoa, there is more in me, and I want to do right, and I want to be an apostle, and I want to be a preacher, and I want to be a leader, and I want to be my best, but I find this struggle on the inside of me. So the Paul in Romans 7 is the same Paul in Philippians chapter 4, and he comes to the exact same conclusion in both places. He says the only way this is possible is because there is supernatural strength working on the inside of me, and it's that strength that gets me whenever I find myself in that dip. I don't stay in that dip. I say, no, we're going to get back up, and we're going to try again, and we're going to believe again, and we're going to go for it again, because I'm in the process to my progress. I'm in the learning process. I haven't learned it all yet. I'm in the process. See, I put that graph up there to set some of you free this morning. Because you feel like, you know that's your journey, but you feel like, well, surely that wasn't Pastor Phillip's journey. I mean, surely, 23 years preaching the gospel. Now he's just up and to the right, you know, just everything. He's just walking on up, talking to us every Sunday. But rejoice always. Yeah, whatever. Also process. Every person in this room connects with what Paul said in Romans chapter 7. Because that's the process of all of us. Want to do good. Uh-oh. I don't want to do that again. Hello. It's the process. But the only way you learn is when you stay in the process. The only way you learn is when you keep getting the instruction that you need to get. So you keep showing up on Sunday morning so you can get more instruction. So you join a group. Why? Because you need to get more instruction. You listen to podcasts during the week. Why? So you can get more instruction. Why? You begin to read books. Why? Because I need to get more instruction. Because I need to get more information and some more instruction so that I can wrestle with some things. What? Because I got to study. I got to look on the inside and be honest about what's really there. I got to wrestle with it. I got to fight with some things on the inside of me. Why? Because it's part of the learning process. And then I step into experiences, and experiences are such a powerful part of the process because they are my test. It is my evaluation. This shows me where I am. And whenever I pass a test, praise God and glory to God. Whenever I fail a test, I know I've got to get some more instruction and I've got to do some more work on the inside because that experience is coming back again. That test is coming back again. That circumstance is coming back again. And I want to have a different response than I had the first time. But if I don't do any work, guess what? My response is going to be the exact same. So if we want to change, we have to commit to the learning process. But the learning process has a price tag. Just like learning to speak another language, it has a price tag. Changing your life has a price tag. It has a price tag. It's going to take commitment and dedication. It's going to take you keep getting back up after you fail. It's going to take you struggling and wrestling with internal issues far longer than you think you should be struggling and wrestling with those issues. But if you will just stay in the process, then you can say, like Apostle Paul, I have learned. I've got the instruction. I've done the work and the study, but I've also been in the experience. And the experience has proven I have learned. I have learned how to have joy no matter what the season. Listen, the series ends today, but for some of us, the journey's just beginning. Because you're not going to walk out of here morning joy. You listen to 7 sermons and you read through the book of Philippians one time and all of a sudden you've got morning joy. That's not the way it works. This is a process. But I promise you, if you commit to the process, then you can experience the progress and you can be like the Apostle Paul and you can say, you know what? I paid the price in the process, so I have learned what it is to have joy in every season of my life. Come on, will you stand with me this morning? I want you to bow your heads just for a moment. In just a second, we're going to have a moment of worship. And this is what we're going to be worshiping today. We're going to worship the fact that God doesn't give up on us in the dip. We're going to worship today because God hasn't turned his back on us because we had a few hard days, because we've had a few hard weeks, or even because we've had a few hard years. God is not distancing himself for us, no. Instead, today, God is here for us, helping us on the process. And today, we are going to worship because we are in the process to our progress. Because we can say, I haven't learned how to be content, but I am learning how to be content. I haven't fully learned how to have morning joy, but I am learning how to have morning joy. I am submitting to the process. I'm submitting to the learning process of instruction and of study and of experience. And if I will commit to that process, then I can receive the progress of learning what it is to live with joy in every situation and every circumstance. Today, if you're in this place and say, Philip, I'm ready to submit to that process. I want to submit to the process so that I might experience that progress. I submit to the learning process so that I might learn what it is to have morning joy. You say, Philip, you're talking to me today all over this place. Come on, just lift up your hand. Say, I'm ready to submit to that process. If that's you today, I'm ready to submit to that process. I want to learn what it is to have joy in every season. I want to know what it is to have joy in every circumstance. I want to know what it is to always rejoice. I want to know what it is on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. I want to know what it is even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I want to know what it is even when I get bad news. I want to know what it is when I'm dealing with something I never thought I would be dealing with. I want to know what it is in that moment to say rejoice. It's still my choice. And today I choose to lift up the name of Jesus. Today I choose to give him praise. Today I choose to give him glory, because his grace and his strength and his hope is my only hope in this life. Come on, can you lift up your voice?
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.